I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I'm your host for 2 hours each morning, 9 to 11 o'clock. Today's Wednesday. Next hour, we will do what we do every Wednesday, which is Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try to convince people that your health fate is largely in your hands. You don't have to sit around and wait on Pfizer or Moderna or Merck, the rest of these companies. You can actually affect your own health outcomes, and that's the focus of our second hour every Wednesday. We will do that, as usual, today. Wanted to get into something. I don't know if people have read. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me go and get a quote of the day out of the way. Yesterday, I talked at length about taxation. It always gets me pretty fired up. I had posed the question, is there any line that you would draw where you would say, you know, I'm just not going to participate in funding this government anymore? Because it felt like, and I gave some examples of some lines, it felt like we crossed those lines quite a while ago. They keep getting worse. But William Comer, quote from William Comer is, we are living in a sick society filled with people who would not directly steal from their neighbor, but who are willing to demand that the government do it for them. Totally agree. The Libertarian Party tweeted out, the state doesn't pay or invest in anything. It steals your wealth and funnels it to corrupt bureaucracies and protected corporations. And this is the response to all the latest spending bills by the Biden administration and the Democrats, the giant 70, I think I got the number wrong yesterday. I think it's $79 billion handout to the chip manufacturers. And then the massive spending bill where they profess to invest in several different areas of our economy. When the government tells you it's investing in something, do not ever understand that word to mean you're going to see any kind of a return on it. The state doesn't pay for or invest in anything. It steals your wealth and funnels it to corrupt bureaucracies and protected corporations. I guess we didn't end up with World War III yesterday. Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan and didn't kick it off, so there's that. Who says I'm a negative talk show host? Now, I am not sure still what was any benefit that the American people got from Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. I know with her recent investments in chip manufacturers, she might have needed to go by and check on her investments. Now, she does make investments, and she does get a return on her money. When the government says they invest your money, you will see no return. But for Nancy Pelosi, it's very personal. She's got, around $114 million net worth. She gets quite a return on her office. Unfortunately, the Chinese took my advice that I gave them yesterday and let her return to destroy our country from within. This is a diabolical strategy, but I told the Chinese yesterday, if you really want to hurt the United States, just let Nancy Pelosi come back and continue to run the House of Representatives. So she is, and I love it. The Libertarian Party tweeted out, we don't object to Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan. We only object to her coming back. So I absolutely agree. And I started thinking about it. This was really very, it was a big deal. I mean, apparently a lot of military assets have been moved around this visit. I don't understand why China was hyperventilating about this myself, but I also didn't see the benefit for Pelosi going over there, and I did realize that there could be no worse cause for war than some kind of attack on Nancy Pelosi. The fact that we would lose one service member, it's bad enough that she's got private security that I guess I guess, would step in front of a bullet for this woman. But to think about one of our soldiers, any of our troops, or any innocent people that would end up dying as a result of something that Nancy Pelosi has done was about too much to take. But there must have been something really big going on in the world. I actually started to look around for it yesterday. What is it that they were trying to distract us from? Because this trip to Taiwan got all of the headlines for 4 or 5 days. I usually suspect when there's something that big and it turns out to be a big nothing, that something was going on they were trying to distract us from. But while World War III with China might be off the table for today, we are certainly facing other trials. I tell you, I'm going to take a break. It's going to be a short first segment here and come back in a second. I don't know how familiar people are with the term the fourth turning. This comes from, I don't know if they invented the term, but it is the Strauss and Howe book called The Fourth Turning. I've read a lot of excerpts from this book. I don't think I've ever sat down and read it cover to cover, though it is sitting on my Nook. I believe my son gave me The Fourth Turning, and it's been one of these things I've skipped ahead. You know, according to Strauss and Howe, we are living in the fourth turning. So, to be honest with you, I was a little uninterested in the first three, and I just went to the fourth to see exactly what we're in store for. But there was a piece that was put out that did a pretty good synopsis of this to explain what the first, second, third, and now the fourth turnings are and what we can expect. And I think it's spot on. This is not directly quoting from the book, but actually kind of a look at the concept of this being a fourth turning and what happens next. And I think it knocks it out of the park in a couple of ways. So we'll come back in just a second and talk about that. You're listening to The Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're living in a time right now that I sometimes stop and look around, see if there's cameras focused on me. It feels like some kind of a Truman Show practical joke. Things are so bizarre. I think this is somebody's pranking me with all of these things. I'm sure other people have felt that way too, unless it's true and everybody is just pranking me and this is just a big joke. The world's gone so insane. But what's interesting, you know, I do quotes of the day, and I'll read quotes from founding fathers, from Plato. For thousands of years, human behavior really hasn't changed. And it's interesting because you would think with more information, we would somehow evolve as a society in different ways. We would get smarter somehow. I mean, our technology gets better. Discoveries are made. Progress does happen, can happen. Yet human beings are still as fallible as they've always been. And we continue to repeat the same destructive cycles. It is this self-destructive cycle of democratic behavior that a lot of people are familiar with. This was in the 18th century. A historian by the name of Alexander Tytler. I don't know if that's a typo or not. Is it Alexander Tyler or is it Tytler? Anyway, you've probably heard this one before, and he has given the self-destructive cycle of democratic behavior, and it rings true to us today. He wrote about this in the 18th century, having looked at history of, you know, hundreds or thousands of years. What he said, and you've probably heard this before, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency that apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. A lot of people have pointed to this over the years. And, you know, you'll see a picture of this and it'll say, you are here. And it certainly feels like we are from dependence back into bondage at this point. Thomas Paine in 1775 had a publication called The American Crisis. He said this, and you've heard this first quote here. He said, these are the times that try men's souls. What he also said after that that's not put with that line as much is he said, tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. And it feels like that's where we are. We've got tyranny in this country. And some people recognize it and some people don't. So this brings me to this concept of the fourth turning, and I just think this is very interesting. We're going to go through the different turnings, and they really kind of mirror, I'm sure they draw on this this self-destructive cycle of democratic behavior. But let's look at what the turnings are and understand a turning is about 20 years. And so the last fourth turning was around World War II time, and we're about 80 years away from World War II. So after World War II, we know what happened. We emerged victorious with a lot of help from the Russians, I will say. I mean, I know we don't like to talk about that. Had it not been for Russia, the end of World War II might have taken a little bit longer and been a little bit more costly to the United States, but we like to pretend that Russia's always the boogeyman anyway. The first turning is a period of renewal, one in which a historical crisis has ended. Populace has risen to the occasion, thrown off tyranny, and conquered social, political, and economic tribulation. Having done so, they now create a renewal based on hard work, personal responsibility, and moral integrity. Then the second turning comes. This is when the generation is born to those who have struggled and thrown off the tyranny. A second turning occurs when a generation later, when the rewards of a first turning have resulted in prosperity and stability. And you think about this in recent history, coming out of World War II, this is when the baby boomers were born. This is the rise of the middle class, a great deal of prosperity. Probably more people moved into comfort, more increase in the quality of life than humanity had probably ever seen in a relatively short period of time following World War II, when we had also found kind of our manufacturing roots. These new adults in the second turning who have grown up during a first turning will be well off and seek to pursue high-mindedness and social concerns. Along the way, they will also pursue self-indulgence. A deterioration will begin. In a third turning, again, a generation later, complacency sets in. Politically, these individuals who were sociopathic, a clinical aberration estimated at about 4% of any society at any given time, tend to rise in political spheres, replacing the older generation of responsible people. They tend to raise taxes, increase social welfare programs, and increase government spending in every way, really any excuse to seize increased power over the populace. Then in a fourth turning, and the idea is we are in the latter stages of a fourth turning. This is a 20-year process. The 2000s have been tumultuous, could you say? Then in a fourth turning, again, a generation later, power having been seized, the sociopaths seek total power, the elimination of all freedoms to be replaced by totalitarian rule. Historically, in a third turning, a complacent people make it possible for sociopaths to take power. In a fourth turning, the sociopaths exert that power. And you really just look at our political class and what has transpired over the last 40 years, these last two turnings, really, I guess it's probably about 50 years, because we're probably 10 to 15 years into this fourth turning. It's not a calendar event. It's a generational event. But you look at the political class we have ended up with right now, and I can't say, I've done 5 years of programs, particularly on False Flag Friday, and all of my commentary on foreign policy, where I explain to you, America's government has been seized by psychopaths and sociopaths. People with no regard for the American people, much less any of the people around the world, at the receiving end of our love bombs. It matters little whether the excuse put forward by political leaders, this is in a fourth turning, are climate control, racial equity, central bank digital currencies, cancel culture, owning nothing, digital IDs, transhumanism, vaccine mandates, or a Green New Deal. The objective is singular, total dominance of the ruling class over the subservient class. Any excuse will do if it has a totalitarian rule as its outcome. Now, here's where I think this article gets very interesting to me, because this is what I really feel is the struggle here. Just recently, I've kind of addressed this, and it's not the first time I've been accused of this negativity on the show. People will say, you know, I appreciate some of the stuff you cover, but gosh, you're just sometimes it's just all doom and gloom type stuff. And that is the reticence of people to kind of really accept the reality of the situation. They want me to stroke their hair and tell them that if you just vote hard enough in the next two elections, everything's going to be okay. Now, I will say, go vote in the midterms. It's imperative that the left is stripped of their control of this government, but that is a temporary victory. Should you not exercise more control over the people that you do put in power, as it will be returned back to the left, and the right has certainly its failings too. But in any fourth turning, and this is where it gets to this idea that the people that I address, I mean, we go out over the air, there's a lot of people that are not really paying attention to these kinds of things. They don't understand the turnings. They don't understand where we are in history. And so they really want, you know, Rush Limbaugh had a great time in the 1990s criticizing the Clinton administration, but we weren't where we are now. I would much rather the stakes be dramatically lower. I wish we had not just lived through a time where even a Republican governor closed down churches, forced business owners to operate either completely closed, takeout only, 25% occupancy. I wish I didn't have to narrate that world. It would be much more fun if the stakes were much lower. We were just talking about a little bit of a spending bill here or a little bit of a spending bill there. We're not. We're talking about the arrival of tyranny in this country. In any fourth turning, those who are more thoughtful and forward-thinking will begin to make sense of the ruse, but find themselves being heavily criticized by all and sundry. The media will do all within their power to slap down those who denounce the ruling class, but more to the point, the greater proportion of the populace will remain in their slumber and resist the awakening strenuously. This group must struggle in the darkness to a great degree, talking about the people who were speaking at this stuff, as the majority of the population fight against an awakening, as it disturbs their complacency and is too horrendous to contemplate. And that's really where I believe we are. We're in a situation right now. I mean, you see people who have got to by now, people particularly maybe in the medical profession, have got to see the disaster that is this COVID jab regime. It doesn't work. It's not stopping the spread. People who got the shots are now more likely to get COVID, more likely to be hospitalized, and more likely to die. And yet they resist this. They cannot imagine that they have made such a horrendous mistake. Now, this goes back into the fourth turning. The latter half of a fourth turning becomes a chaotic and confusing period, one in which many people, and let me say this too, to inject a note of positivity in here, so should I get the charges of being a doom and gloomer again are too negative. People made it through World War II. During the course of World War II and the Great Depression, all of these things, people had birthday parties, they got married, businesses succeeded. A lot of people got hurt. It was a painful time. But plenty of people, we didn't become extinct here. There's a lot of people out there right now calling for the Civil War. I stand against that. I'm for the national divorce. That's absolutely fine with me if we all kind of retreat to our own separate quarters and just decide to coexist and try our own system in our own state or region. The idea of a Civil War, I think, is something people get very excited about. It makes them feel very macho at the time to actually contemplate what that would mean for us and for our children is probably much less romantic than people envision, but people make it through these times. This is not a doom and gloom. It's just where our, air quotes here in the studio, democracy has taken us. We are in this fourth turning. The latter half of a fourth turning becomes a chaotic and confusing period, one in which many people desperately hope to just get along, whilst those who are more visionary become increasingly aware that their freedoms are being flushed away on a wholesale basis. And whilst it is the smaller, more visionary group that creates the spark of change, it is historically a different and unlikely group that actually creates substantive change in the latter half. And this is what I really wanted to point out. The group that turns the tide is the group that is often referred to as the hoi polloi, the average guy. At some point, The average guy who simply wanted to be allowed to get on with his life, go to work, mow the lawn, sit on the couch with a six-pack and watch the game, has had his life so disrupted by the ruling sociopaths and their increasingly manic oppression that he accepts that he must turn off the TV and do something. He's not a leader, he's a joiner. But it is that point that I think, and I've talked about this, I've talked about inflation, the financial situation in this country, the swamp of debt that we have here in this country, and that waterline, as I've said, has been up to the necks of the lower classes of people on income. It is now over their heads in many ways, particularly with the inflation. It is up to the mid-chest region right now of the middle class, and the upper middle class is feeling this somewhere around their waist right now. And it is at that point where it is that average guy, that guy sitting there just waiting for SEC football to start. Eventually your life gets so disruptive if this trend continues, if this oppression that is going on right now continues. I don't know how many people who want to just mow their lawn and sit on the couch and grab a six-pack and watch a football game, I don't know how many of them were forced to take an experimental shot to retain a job or were fired from a lifelong career or injured from that shot. These people are now realizing this has gone too far. I just wanted to be left alone. They go in the story to talk about the Ottawa truckers, the Dutch farmers right now. These are all people that just wanted to be on their farm, just wanted to be driving their truck and then going home on the weekends and just enjoying themselves. But Canada pushed them so far in stripping them of their way of life that they really had no choice but to get involved, to get engaged in the situation. I believe that moment is coming. And this piece says, but the very fact that he is the average guy, that the bulk of the population is made up of average guys, makes their collective weight greater than those who may have been more inspired thinkers, and more importantly, greater than the weight of the oppressors. And that's what I think we're in now. We're in the fourth turning. We may not be towards the end of it right now. There's a lot of average guys that are still sitting on the couch. The higher the income level, the more creature comforts you have right now, the less you're affected by these things. But I believe it's coming. I would imagine in Sri Lanka, within that crowd, there were the equivalent of Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor. Probably more poor because they've had years and years to get kind of wound up on this. And I don't know that Sri Lanka has a burgeoning middle class and upper middle class there. But I would imagine that as the situation gets a little more intense, and I believe financially it's going to get more intense, that this fourth turning does culminate when finally the people get off their couch. They finally make it to the school board meetings. They finally get to the city council meetings. At what point will it be that the city of Jackson has said enough is enough? No drinking water? No 9/11 service? Excuse me, 911. Do you remember when they had to change that? I do. I think this was a turning in America when they had to change. They used to advertise, if you have an emergency, call dial 911. But what happened was too many people were unable to do it because there wasn't an 11 number on their phone. That's a true story. They had to change it to 911 because people were not intelligent enough to figure out that you could do an 11 by hitting the 1 twice. They had to change it to 911. In Jackson, and Clay's talked about this a lot, I mean, Jackson is circling the drain. Eventually, things are going to happen, and those people are going to get off the couch in Jackson and demand something different. To why it's taken so long, I don't know. It's a mystery to all of us. But nationally, this is where we are. The average guy is going to get off the couch. He's going to get engaged, not because he wants to, not because he's passionate about it, not because it's something that I said or because he was inspired by somebody in some way, but the oppression that he feels on his life, taxation, inflation, lockdowns. It doesn't matter what it is, and I don't believe they're done with those yet either. There will be new excuses, climate lockdowns, whatever it is, social credit scores, digital bank, digital currencies. Eventually, it's going to come, and they're going to say, I don't want to get off the couch. I'm not inspired to get off the couch, but by God, I'm going to get off the couch. And that's when the fourth turning will finally conclude itself. It may not even take that long. There are 330 million of us, and a few thousand of them. Be right back. What's the frequency? Can it be? All right, we are back. Excuse me. This is Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am, to be honest, we're talking about the fourth turning, and that we are smack dab in the middle of it. Look, it's going to play out. I am admittedly what people refer to as an accelerationist at this point, and probably have been for a while. When I have to move somewhere, if I know a big move is coming up, I'm moving houses, I start packing up like a month early. I am as big a procrastinator as anybody out there on my day-to-day stuff. I end up jamming my schedule full of stuff I could have gotten done, but that one Saturday I had off, I just felt like I really just needed to relax, and I'll let things pile up. But when it comes to kind of big things I have to do, I just want to get them done. I want to be through it. I want to be on the other side. And particularly when it comes to kids, the upheaval that we really need to have in this country, I want it to happen now because my children are 21 and I don't want this to happen to them when they've got a family and kids that are depending on them. I want to go ahead and get this situation fixed, the debt wrung out, have the Great Recession that we deserve because we have lived so far beyond our means and supported politicians who had us living so far beyond our means. I want it to happen now, so that my children have a good, clean slate, a good foundation with which to build their family on. It's our fault. All of us adults should be accelerationists. We need to get this over with so we can clear the decks for our kids and fix some stuff. I was talking yesterday. We went to an Americans for Prosperity thing. We were talking about education. It's very interesting. We'll talk tomorrow at Starla Brown about what AFP is proposing to our state legislature about education. The time for tinkering around the edges is over. There are some fantastic innovations and great other ways to approach education that frees people, frees some of our kids from failing schools, allows for competition, will lower costs and get better results. The time of tinkering around and going from No Child Left Behind to Common Core to all of these failed, those days are over. Waiting for the next party or the one of the two parties to cycle back in and give us their retread ideas that are slightly different, to go from a tax code of 20%, 27% down to 23.5%. Those days are over. It's gotten too serious. We're in that fourth turning now, so I am an accelerationist. This piece that I'm reading from is Jeff Thomas writing for the International Man. I should give him credit for this as I'm reading from it. He says, for those of us who saw the warning signs early decades ago, I'm going to tell you right now, that's libertarians. You know, they saw the money printing. They saw the central bank. They saw taking us off the gold standard. Libertarian Party was founded pretty closely after that we were removed from the gold standard because they realized, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. It was the libertarians warning you about things like the Patriot Act or the first invasion of Iraq while the vast majority of people were cheering for it and watching it like it was a reality TV show. The Patriot Act comes around under George W. Bush and the Republican Congress, and conservatives are taught to believe that it's patriotic to support the new police state, the new Soviet-style surveillance system on the American people. It'll only be used for those brown people on the other side of the globe, you were told. And libertarians said, I wouldn't give them that weapon if I were you. And they were ignored. So for those of us who saw the first warning signs early decades ago, the first half of the fourth turning has been extraordinarily distressing. This is Jeff Thomas saying this. The globalists have been through in their planning and have successfully executed the removal of freedoms with great stealth that we assumed any, quote, thinking, unquote, person should have seen coming. But most people are not thinkers. Most people go along. They continue to go along right until the moment that they don't. Thomas Paine was correct. These are the times that try men's souls. Paine was a visionary who, through his writing, attempted to bring about an awakening. But an awakening happens only gradually. But the point arrives when the common man has had just about enough. He may not be intellectually inspired, but his collective weight is, and throughout history, has been the turning point. And Jeff Thomas finishes with, we are now on that cusp. So don't look at my show as something negative, as a doom and gloomer. We have made this bed. We need to lie in it so we do not end up burying our children in it. At least that's my opinion. I talked earlier about, you know, like the social credit scores. I told you yesterday about Israel. Israel's rolled out something now where you can't do a transaction with another person unless you're some kind of a licensed business. You have to ask for the privilege of qualifying as a business in Israel. You know, this great bastion of democracy over in the Middle East that we genuflect and send billions of dollars a year. Now, I can't remember the figure exactly. I think it was $1,700. You cannot do a cash transaction over $1,700 in Israel now. You have to use a debit card, something that can be tracked and traced and monitored. And I read you the statements from their taxing authority saying, this is just designed to fight crime. No, this is about total control. That's the Israeli government that everybody is tripping over themselves to support because the conservative talk show hosts carry water for the government in Israel. No disrespect to Israeli people or Jewish people, but the government of Israel is not your friend. Social credit scores around the world, there's a video going around of the British police arresting a man because somebody called essentially whatever their 911 is. England's got all kinds of wonky stuff. There's no telling what number they use for 911. But somebody called that because they were had anxiety caused by a social media post by this guy. Three or four cops in this video show up to arrest this man because one of his social media posts caused anxiety. And I got to tell you, I think the days for most people of thinking, well, that could never happen here. They'll never have any restrictions on cash transactions here in the United States like they do in Israel. Certainly that would never happen here. It would never happen here that somebody would be arrested for causing anxiety from a social media post. Do you still believe that we are going to be spared these kinds of controls? You might have had a leg to stand on prior to 2020 when I was watching what was taking place in China and saying, oh my God, they have locked down cities of a million people. And I said at the time, I need to go back and find the shows and clip the quotes. I said, can you even imagine? Can you even imagine New York City completely shut down? And within 3 months of me uttering that statement out of just absolute disbelief that they could ever accomplish such a thing in the United States, 3 months later, a tumbleweed was going down Fifth Avenue in New York City. As people were forced to stay in their homes, schools closed, churches closed, businesses closed in New York City, the most vibrant city probably on planet Earth in normal times. If you don't think these things are coming, they're coming. And this is when that average guy, Joe Sixpack, just wants to watch a game. But he finally realizes that's just not an option anymore. Equifax is talking about the social credit score. This is rolling out. And believe me, you may want to clean up your social media posts now. My opinion on it is just get off of social media. I got a notification over the last couple of days from Twitter. I've been getting these notifications, you know, here's your new login information. Here's your code to change your password. And to be honest with you, I've just been ignoring it. I got notice today that my password has been changed at Twitter, and it was, you know, my Twitter account was accessed from a new unique device, and I looked it up. It was in Egypt. So I guess somebody has hacked into my Twitter account. I think I should care, but I don't care because I don't use Twitter. I'll look at the feeds. I'll pull down some Twitter quotes from the Libertarian Party these days, or Thomas Massey's got a good Twitter account to see what he's posting these days, but I don't do social media. I guess I should be concerned. I don't know if you start seeing things from the Mike Madison show that are supportive of Egypt or terroristic threats against the United States. It's not me. I didn't change that passcode. Somebody else did. Anyway, when it comes to the social credit score that we think is coming, I just thought it was kind of interesting. Equifax has been had a problem with their algorithms. Equifax sent lenders wrong info on millions of consumers, causing higher rates and denials. Credit company Equifax provided inaccurate credit scores for millions of U.S. consumers to banks and non-bank lenders during a three-week period between mid-March and early April. This is from the Wall Street Journal, citing bank executives and others familiar with the episode. So what happened was some people who had no credit scores whatsoever suddenly had scores in the 700s. Some people who had credit scores in the 700s suddenly had zero. Their credit was bad, and it started affecting actual lending decisions. I just bring this up because you can only imagine if Equifax, with all of its interest in, you know, companies pay it for these reports, It's formed a private business. I'm sure it's got all of the controls you could possibly imagine. A corporation that big, it keeps information on 200 million Americans. They have helped usher us all into. We've already been in the not social credit score, but the financial credit score that allows you the privilege of going deeper and deeper into debt. If you play by Equifax's rules, now I'm not saying you shouldn't pay back money that you borrow, but if you play by their rules, they'll allow you to go deeper into debt. We have people out there that say, whatever you do, make sure you keep your credit score high so that you can borrow as much money as you possibly can whenever you need it. Anyway, this giant corporation with all of the controls and the incentive to keep their customers' information secure had a screw up. You can only imagine what would happen when the government is in charge of doling out these kinds of credit scores for people. You may find yourself trying so hard. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. There's a lot of people, even on the right, where they believe it's somehow patriotic for them to say, I'm a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen. Why you brag about paying taxes is a little beyond me. It seems like I've got the most comfortable bed in the house, massa. That's what it feels like, a little bit like the house slave. But anyway, you can imagine if you just try and you obey all the rules. Another thing conservatives have said for a long time now is when it comes to law enforcement, comes to surveillance state, you've said, well, if you don't do anything wrong, you have nothing to hide. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. These are law and order slogans by the right. Suddenly you found out that just opening your business was a crime. Suddenly opening your churches or attending a church service, even in your car, in the parking lot, was a crime. So many people they'll just be the go-along people. You'll try to do everything you can to keep that social credit score high. You'll do everything they tell you. You don't want any problems. You just want to be left alone. And the next thing you know, something goes wrong with the algorithm and you find yourself on the outs, much like the million-plus people that found themselves on the no-fly list because their name rhymed with somebody on the terror watch list. All of these things in the hands of government are very dangerous. If only there had been a little ragtag political party and philosophy warning you about all of these things decades ago. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're called libertarians. I'll be right back. You try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, only a couple of minutes left in this hour, and we're going to move on to Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. But I can't resist this. I just ran across this. Somebody had tweeted this video out. And I'm just saying, as we realize this kind of, I mean, we're in this globalist push, particularly when it comes to the green stuff, and they're shutting down farms, buying up land, disrupting supply chains, locking. I mean, it's like I say, I mean, I believe we're in this fourth turning. It's happening. You know, you can deny it. You can try to pretend it's not here. But there's some pretty big changes that are being made right now that are going to, what's happening in Europe and Germany right now. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do this winter. I've got a clip about that. I'll probably play it tomorrow about what they're anticipating for energy prices in England in this winter. And they're just telling them straight to their face. Here's the, I think it's a 77%. It's already, energy prices have gone up 50%. This winter, they're saying as in November, there's a specific date on it. They have caps. Energy prices going up 77%. And then again in January, they're anticipating another 50% increase. I mean, these things are actually happening. When it comes to the globalists, though, I can't resist playing this clip. I've told you there's something wrong with me. I just cannot sit by. A lot of people believe, well, you don't have to get off the couch. Trump's going to come in 2024 and save us all. This was just an interesting. This is a historical. This isn't anything new. This was Trump going to the World Economic Forum, and he is standing next to none other than Klaus Schwab.
Why is it better to be here in Davos than in Washington, D.C.?
Well, we're here meeting with world leaders, the biggest, most important people in the world, and we're bringing back tremendous business in the United States. And
now, I'm all for president really going out and making business deals, but you hear Donald Trump at the World Economic Forum saying these are the most powerful and most important people in the world, the people who meet at the World Economic Forum.
We're here to see I'll be making a speech, and then we'll be leaving shortly. But I think it's very important. The other's just a hoax. It's the witch hunt that's been going on for years, and it's frankly, it's disgraceful. But we look forward to being here. Klaus has done a fantastic job.
Wait, what? That's right. That's Donald Trump telling you what a great job Klaus Schwab has done with this little economic forum thing he's got running.
Klaus has done a fantastic job. And again, we're meeting with the biggest companies in the world, the biggest businesses in the world, and world leaders, all for the benefit of the United States. We look forward to the meetings.
Yeah, so there you go. Of course, he's co-opting the World Economic Forum. How's that working for us? You'll own nothing and be happy. Klaus is doing a great job. Great job. These are the most important and powerful people on the planet over here making deals. And he's lived up to that. Literally, he's got the Live golf tournament with the Saudi Arabians now. So that was a big business deal. Feels a little globalist-y to me. Be right back. All right, welcome back. We are the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we dive into health-related topics and hump day health, natural health news you can use. I try to convince you that your health fate is largely in your own hands. And I'm going to get into some stuff today. It's not only in your own hands. You need to take it out of the hands that are attempting to direct it. I'm no fan of the medical establishment here. Certainly great doctors and nurses and people out there in the medical world. We've seen over the last couple of years, they are largely silenced. There is no free thought allowed, no direct just patient to doctor individualized care. No grand policies are set from the top down. And boy, some of them are absolutely horrific. I'm going to get into some of that right now as the White House is putting out a food compass. I think that's what this thing is called. They've got a meeting slated for next month. And I'm going to read you a little bit about what your nutritional authorities are telling you is good for you and what they're telling you is bad for you. I met with a young girl the other day, graduated with a nutrition degree. I'm very curious. I'd like to spend some time with her. I'd like to know what the nutrition schools are teaching them. I ask her a little bit about it. So are they still targeting low-fat stuff? We're decades now into debunking this idea that you don't need fat in your diet, that you should do everything you can to not have any fat. This has been going on for quite some time. And she said, yeah, they're still pretty much on board with that. So nutritional guidelines in this country are absolutely abhorrent. And I'm going to tell you, I think some of the stories that I'm going to tell you about in just a second now, I believe they are deliberately trying to make you sick. Wait till you hear this food compass. They are trying to make you sick. Now, there's a lot of ignorance, a lot of people who refuse to change their minds. It's very difficult, I guess, in a profession to go, yeah, we told you to do this for 25, 30 years. Turns out we were completely wrong. Sorry for all the misery it caused. I would say low fat is one of these things. The great cholesterol myth as well. There's a lot of things that have been so wrong that have had legitimate victims of this bad advice, not including what we're seeing right now with this mass experimental inoculation program they've got. They don't ever come out and apologize for it, but there are real victims to these things. So there's always two parts to this show. One is to try to delegitimize the health authorities, and then the other is to give you some practical things that you can do for yourself, some breadcrumbs that you can research yourself to actually get better health outcomes personally. I start every show by explaining to you, however, I am not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a vaccinologist, an immunologist, an epidemiologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a therapist. I'm not nothing. I'm not here to advise you on your health. I don't know your story. Don't know all of the different moving pieces that make you a human being. But I am absolutely convinced that your diet is the biggest factor in your health outcomes, and the advice that you're being given by mainstream medicine is a giant swing and a miss, and I'm convinced they are actually trying to make you sick and make sure that you are taking plenty of pharmaceuticals and seeking constant medical care, because that's where the cash is. The New England Journal of Medicine has actually produced a paper, or published a paper. This is, again, the New England Journal of Medicine. Prior COVID infection conferred better protection against symptomatic Omicron. They call it Omicron. I call it the Omicron. Prior COVID infection conferred better protection against symptomatic Omicron more than a year after infection than three doses of vaccine more than 1 month after the third dose or booster. Huh. Huh. Will the medical establishment come out and apologize to all of those people who had had COVID, had recovered from it, and they were forced to get a vaccine at the risk of their job? I wouldn't hold our breath. I would not hold our breath for any apologies there, but this is appearing now in the New England Journal of Medicine, probably not reported widely on the news. I've got some Fauci stuff I may try to stick in here. Health quote of the day from the comedian Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider from Hot Chicks. Isn't that one of the movies that he did? He did some pretty brainless stuff in his entertainment career. Some of it very funny. He had a series that was pretty funny. But this is from Rob Schneider. I would rather take my health advice from Rob Schneider than Thomas Dobbs or Anthony Fauci. Rob Schneider said, why aren't health authorities making dietary, lifestyle, and supplement recommendations that would bolster people's immunity, like encouraging them to eat healthy, reduce stress levels, get proper sleep, exercise, enjoy sunshine, fresh air, and practice other habits that help prevent illness? That's comedian Rob Schneider. Just asking the question, same question that I've asked many times, but anyway, that was Rob Schneider's a better person to look to for health advice than anybody else. I had a story here. How pandemic changed Americans' health for the worse. And we know a lot of this is not only, well, what they point to is a lot of people who missed treatments, who locked in, who got more sedentary, who emotionally ate. Unfortunately, I was paywalled out of this article by the Wall Street Journal, and I refuse to pay them that $1 for a month access. I'm dedicated to bringing you the latest and greatest on health news, but I'm not going out there and spending a dollar to do it. No, I just have a hard time sending any money to these publications, although I appreciate the fact that they are struggling to make a profitable business model. Giving me free information is not necessarily a profitable endeavor, but anyway, we know what happened to Americans' health during the pandemic, both when it came to food, emotional eating, lockdowns, and certainly the psychological toll it took on all of us, not to mention this incredible human tragedy that is this experiment they're doing on everyone from 6 months and above now. I wanted to talk a little bit about this. There is just rank and file FDA corruption. Let me get this guy's name. Dr. Offit. He was on the FDA advisory committee about, I believe this is about the boosters. Apologies. Last week I went long on my breakdown of all of the chemicals that are in our food, in our water, in our cosmetics, and I'm attaching them to all of this gender confusion that we're seeing in the world. You can go and find this on a podcast. I ended up talking about it for about an hour and a half, breaking down all of the different things from glyphosate to atrazine that literally turns frogs from male to female where they can have offspring, things that are in the chemicals, glyphosate, hormones in the milk. I broke down all of these things. I believe there is a tie between all of this gender confusion in the world and what the chemicals that we have been putting into our bodies with the known effect of disrupting hormones. They're endocrine disruptors. If you want to hear my explanation of that, it is lengthy. But you can go and find the podcast, The Mike Madison Show. It was last Wednesday's show. So I had this before then. I don't remember. I clipped it before then. I haven't listened to it since. But it's just, I've got it listed here as FDA corruption. And as I said, one of the purposes of this show, one of the intentions of this show, is to make sure you understand that the FDA, the CDC, the American Medical Association, they don't care about you. They care about money. Just look at the trajectory of diseases and the trajectory of profits over the past 30, 40 years. It's not an accident that more people get sick and they make more money. I don't know why they would not want to replicate that but I don't understand why you would want to replicate that in your own life. This is just labeled FDA corruption. Let's listen to Dr. Offit when they're talking about meeting about some of these boosters.
You get the EUA submission from the company, which is 85 to 100 pages long. And then you get the FDA's review of all those data. It really, really is heartening. I mean, it is a very thorough review. Not here. Here it was 22 pages from the FDA, which included a half a page on Pfizer's data and a half a page on Moderna's data. You could get that from the press release.
And I'm sure that's exactly what it was. So understand, this is the FDA board. He's part of the FDA committee that's trying to decide on whether or not they should offer booster shots. They got half a page of information on Pfizer, half a page on Moderna, reads like a public relations release. And this is what the FDA, that loves you and cares for you, and they tell you that they protect you. They are the ones, the regulators there, to make sure that nothing makes it out into your food or drugs that may harm you. They had half a page press release from Pfizer and Moderna. That's how they made the decision to authorize boosters.
In fact, it was no more detailed, frankly, than the press release. So I just thought the question we're being asked is in the end, always, is do the benefits outweigh the risks, even though the risks are generally small and sometimes unknown? That's always the question. Do the benefits of this vaccine outweigh the risks? I didn't see the benefits. I was surprised, actually, frankly, that of the 21 voting members, 19 voted yes, because I just didn't see the evidence for that.
I'm not surprised at all. I'm only surprised that Dr. Offit is actually still on this FDA advisory committee and that there were two votes that said, can we hold on a second and get a little bit more data on these shots than a half page PR release from Pfizer and Moderna? I don't know why he's surprised. Certainly he understands the corruption in this organization.
And we'll see how this plays out. I mean, this was something that I think that was desired by this administration. I could be wrong, but the way that the other thing that was odd about this meeting was that we're an advisory committee. We're being asked for our advice. So normally what happens is they just present the data. Here's the data. What's your advice? And people can ignore our advice. I mean, I'm in academic medicine. People ignore my advice all the time. But make the best advice. So here, on the other hand, Howard, they had somebody from the WHO, Contra Subbarao, who presented their opinion about this. And their opinion was they thought this was a good idea. And then you had the FDA presenting, where they also had an opinion. That's unusual. And then the next day, you know, you read a public health announcement from the a press release from HHS, Health and Human Services, that says that the government has decided to purchase at least 105 million doses from Pfizer with up to 300 million doses. It was a little unclear from that press release, but they mentioned that we had just made this decision the day before. So you just sort of felt like the fix was in a little bit here. Maybe that's not the right phrase, but it was something that they wanted. And I felt like we were being led here with a critical lack of information.
Okay. Understand what that is. That's not Del Bigtree, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. That's not Alex Berenson, who's been covering these things. That's not Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's done great work on vaccinations for years and years and following the problems with a whole host of the shots, notwithstanding this latest tragedy. That is one of the guys, one of the 21 on the FDA advisory committee, saying this process was completely abnormal. They weren't given any data on boosters. They were given PR releases from the pharmaceutical companies. They weren't presented with the data for them to make up their minds and offer their advice. They were presented with opinions from the WHO and from the FDA that recommended that they give these shots. No data presented. And the very next day, the White House comes out and announces up to 300 million doses of this stuff at taxpayer expense were going to be purchased from Pfizer. This is billions and billions of dollars going to Pfizer. So no evidence submitted, no data, just opinions. And 19 out of 21 on the FDA advisory committee went, oh, yeah, sounds good to me. We don't really need any data. You say it's good. We say it's good. This is supposedly a regulatory body that safeguards your health. And trust me, they are equally derelict in their duties to protect you of things that are in food, in other medications as well. This thing with the shots is just so much more egregious. And I'll remind you again, obviously the boosters were approved sometime in, I guess it was 2021, And now the study comes out in the Journal of the New England Journal of Medicine. Prior COVID infection conferred better protection against symptomatic Omicron more than a year after infection than three doses of vaccine greater than a month after the third dose of the booster. Yeah, the facts are coming out. The FDA didn't care about any of these things. They don't care about the data. They care about sales. FDA, CDC are vaccine and drug sales organizations, not protectors of the American people. I'll be right back. Lots of people who were suspicious of this vaccine, air quote here in the studio, vaccine program have been sharing stories about increases in sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. All kinds of other news coming around from insurers, disability payments are up, mortality of working age people is up. So there's all kinds of things out there floating around, and I've played some supercuts where they are attempting to blame just about everything in the world for heart attacks these days. Sunshine, noise pollution, I mean, just all kinds. You will see stories constantly where they're attaching something else to heart attacks to start explaining why younger people are having heart attacks, and they tell you, oh, yeah, that's perfectly normal. I think it was a UK bus. It might have been New York City where they were running a big billboard ad on the side of a bus where it said, oh, certainly, young people have heart attacks, too. Young people have strokes, too. They're normalizing a lot of these. But this is one story that came out that kind of adds to that, but I wanted to look at something and show you how there's always a different way to hear different news stories if you think about it for just a nanosecond. This is something that came out on ABC News.
A new study says regular napping may increase your risk of health problems. The study found adults who take a regular snooze have a 12% higher risk of developing high blood pressure and a 24% higher risk of having a stroke compared to those who do not nap.
Okay, so you nappers out there, first of all, I envy you. Boy, there are days. I sure do want to nap. But they come out and say, so napping now is attached to strokes. So if somebody strokes, it's not the shot. Did they take a nap? It was that nap. It was certainly not this shot that has the known side effect of causing blood clots and strokes. But there's another way to look at this, too. And whenever I hear stories like this, now what is more likely? That taking a nap somehow causes a stroke or high blood pressure? Or is it more likely that people who have got circulatory issues are more sleepy than other people? There's a bit of a chicken and egg thing there. Obviously, if you have circulatory problems, if you've got high blood pressure, these kinds of things tend to make you tire more easily. So where they look at it and say, well, look, these people are taking naps and then they're having strokes and they got high blood pressure. Or is it the fact that their high blood pressure is actually what's causing them to need more naps? I'm just saying, when you start to listen to these kinds of stories, I think a lot of times the news, science, they get it absolutely back-assward. And instead of understanding, that's why people are napping more. They had the health problem first. It wasn't the napping that caused the health problem. While that might not be a health problem, they're going to try to get you sick. I'll tell you what, let me throw this in here real quick. As I'm trying to, you know, I try to kind of create a flow for the show, try to group my news stories so they're along the same vein so I'm not bouncing back and forth between things. As I tell you that the FDA, the CDC, these are not organizations that are there to protect your health. They are there to sell drugs. This cute little story dropped towards the end of July. This was on The Guardian. Critical elements of leading Alzheimer's study possibly fraudulent. Critical elements of one of the most cited pieces of Alzheimer's disease research in the last two decades may have been purposefully manipulated, according to a report in Science. Alzheimer's, the most common cause of dementia globally, according to the World Health Organization. This highly influential paper, which was published in Nature in 2006, has helped guide billions of dollars in U.S. federal government research into Alzheimer's, according to Science. The study, which looked at cognitive decline in mice, proposed that a specific amyloid protein may be responsible for cognitive decline. The hypothesis has since dominated the field, and researchers have worked for years to understand the mechanism by which such proteins may lead to decline. But a neuroscientist in Tennessee, Vanderbilt University professor Matthew Schrag, said in Science article that he and other reviewers have identified as many as 10 papers on the protein that deserve deeper scrutiny. The report also cited other prominent researchers who have had difficulty replicating results of the studies on these specific proteins. And this happens in medicine all the time. The same thing, I believe, from my research, and many doctors smarter than me, my research into their work, not my personal research. I have no lab, no white lab coat, no certification in any of the biomedical sciences. But this is the same thing as statins or low-fat diet. These studies are manipulated. Essentially, what I believe probably happens is that a pharmaceutical company goes, hey, we found a way to manipulate this amyloid protein. Can you somehow tie this to Alzheimer's so we can market this as an Alzheimer drug? And they send out the researchers. A big pharma funds these people to get them to go out and find the conclusion. Now they're finding that this study done in 2006 that's been driving Alzheimer's care ever since, what is that, 16 years, billions of dollars into Alzheimer's research and Alzheimer's drugs, they're finding, oh, it was purposefully manipulated. The heart of the matter is whether images in multiple papers were manipulated to better support a hypothesis, with the work of researcher Sylvain Lesnay under particular examination. Lesnay, an associate professor at the University of Minnesota, is now under investigation by the university. These stories are always so sad to me. So many people in any of these cases, whether it's statins or Alzheimer's drugs or anything, this manipulated science to sell a drug ends up costing people a great deal. They pursue wrong treatments, expensive treatments, treatments that do not work because the entire hypothesis of this treatment is bogus in the first place. This happens over and over and over again. And, you know, I would say for them to realize this huge mistake within 16 years is almost abnormal. That's pretty quick for the medical community. It largely takes them 30, 40, 50 years to realize they got something tragically wrong. When I come back, I want to get to this food compass that your government's about to roll out on you. They've ranked foods that you should be encouraged to eat and foods that you should not eat. Wait till you get a load of this. We'll do it when we come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And this is really turning into a show about bad research and bad advice that Americans have been given. Whether it's Alzheimer's, you hear from somebody on the FDA advisory board about the boosters, where they said they were given no data, just a couple of PR releases and some proponents and an opinion presentation. That was it. We're just constantly barraged by bad information. Here's one more. I forgot I had this note in today's show. Dangers of aspirin. 7 reasons drug could do more harm than good, according to studies. And this, I say this in light of, ever since I've been a sentient human being, I heard that, you know, you adults maybe take one baby aspirin a day. One aspirin a day to control, you know, to thin your blood a little bit or whatever they do it for. I don't know how many Americans have been lining up to make sure that they took their aspirin every single day. Millions of people take over-the-counter aspirin to reduce fevers or relieve headaches on a daily basis. While there are some benefits in taking aspirin, there are also risks involved, especially if taken every day. How many decades? How many decades have the medical establishment been said, well, if you fit a certain risk profile where you may be susceptible to heart attacks or strokes, maybe just adding a daily aspirin into your routine will help prevent that. Some studies find regularly taking aspirin can protect against illnesses. However, others show it actually does more harm than good. Recent findings from studyfinds.org reveal that aspirin increases the risk of heart failure, increases likelihood of early death due to cancer in older adults, and even can trigger liver damage in some hospital patients. The big question is, do the benefits outweigh the risk? Here are seven health risks from taking aspirin, according to studies published in recent years. A study from the University of Georgia warns that much of Americans' belief about aspirin's preemptive heart benefits come from outdated research conducted decades ago that wouldn't be considered completely accurate today. In fact, the study authors say that unless you've already suffered a heart attack or stroke, taking a daily aspirin may actually do more harm than good. A study warns people over age 60 should avoid taking aspirin as a preventative measure against heart disease. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says the risk of internal bleeding far outweighs any potential benefit for senior citizens. Researchers of the European Society of Cardiology report that taking aspirin raises the risk of heart failure among people with at least one pre-existing health risk. These include smoking, being obese, having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, or cardiovascular disease. A study of nearly 31,000 people at risk of developing heart failure, the team found that aspirin users saw their chances of heart failure diagnosis go up by 26%. And these hits just keep on coming. Liver damage to people that are in the hospital. Studies suggest taking aspirin daily may promote cancer progression and lead to early death among older individuals. The study was the first randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trial to examine low-dose aspirin in healthy older adults. Again, this has been mainstream advice for decades. And it comes down again, they don't pay attention to the 3 pounds of food that you shove into your mouth every day, but they believe this one tiny little powdery pill and aspirin, that's going to have a profound effect. Now, I will tell you, in defense of some good doctors out there, they try to get a lot of people to change their lifestyle and understand that what they eat matters, but really it's just easier to take the pill. Can't I just take an aspirin? Can't I just eat garbage all day and then take an aspirin? And that's what a lot of people opt to. But again, this is just horrific medical advice. And I'm convinced with this next story. They are trying to make you sick. So there is about to be a big White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health. It is billed as the biggest event on food policy in more than 50 years. They're going to be making some recommendations on what you should be encouraged to eat, what you can eat in moderation, and what you should avoid. I think I'll start with what you should avoid. If you kind of understand the way we're being manipulated these days, particularly when it comes to Green New Deal type stuff and cow farts being an existential threat to the entire planet, you understand some of the way these things are. So here's what's to be avoided in your diet, according to this new health summit. And the Food Compass. This is called the Food Compass. It was published in Nature Food in 2021. Lead author, Darush Mozafarian, he's the dean of the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy at Tufts University. And they have also led the development of the White House conference that is supposed to take place sometime in September. Again, the biggest nutritional guideline presentation given out. This will drive policy. It will drive subsidies to industries. It will drive decisions on school lunches. It will drive everything. The biggest one in 50 years. Here's what they recommend you don't eat. A whole egg fried in butter. Don't eat that. Don't eat cheddar cheese. And whatever you do, don't eat ground beef. So no beef, no cheese, no eggs, fried in butter. So what can you have? According to the new White House Summit on Nutrition, led by the lead guy at Tufts University Nutrition Center. Well, the first in this chart that they have out, the big green lines of what you should be encouraged to eat. Here's watermelon and kale, the top two. Not too bad so far. Watermelon is supposed to be very alkalizing for you. A lot of water content and fiber content and watermelon. And God, when you get a good watermelon, there is no greater fruit on planet Earth than a good watermelon. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to tell. It's the problem with fruit. No guarantees with fruit. A great peach, holy cow, is a great peach, a great food. You're just not guaranteed you're not going to get a mealy, tasteless orb. Anyway, so the first two, watermelon, again, these are what you're encouraged to eat according to the new food compass, watermelon and kale. Number three, frosted mini wheats. Tufts University Nutritional Sciences. Number three, frosted mini wheats. So don't eat cheddar cheese. Don't eat ground beef. Don't eat a whole egg fried in butter. But frosted mini wheats, thumbs up. Unsweetened almond milk. Non-fat frozen yogurt. I see through this list, they're really sticking with this non-fat thing. And it's been interesting to watch the circumference of Americans' waist during the non-fat trend. I don't know if you've noticed, but the non-fat has made us, anyone, anyone, fat. Here's the next one they've got. Chocolate-covered almonds. Orange juice with calcium. Oh, I love this one. Honey Nut Cheerios. Again, don't eat ground beef. Don't eat animal. Don't eat an egg cooked in some butter. Don't eat cheddar cheese. Go with the Honey Nut Cheerios instead. Now, Honey Nut Cheerios has a special place in my heart for taking on, because Honey Nut Cheerios and Cheerios in general from the General Mills are widely known to be very high in glyphosate stuff. Apparently what they do, if I remember correctly, is as they are harvesting the oats to make these grain cereals, they just can't sit around and wait for them to dry out on their own before they process them. So they spray them in glyphosate, in Roundup weed killer. This desiccates the crops, allows them to dry quicker so they can grind them up and get them straight onto your little baby's tray. Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios are known to contain a lot of glyphosate, and we are done, and I did it too. I am not blaming anybody. If you, this is the first time you've heard this, there was a time where I fed my two infants and toddlers. You dump out some Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios out on their little food tray in front of their high chair, and you just let them go to town. Fun shapes, easy to do. You just scatter them out there, and they just pick them one by one. These Cheerios, both Honey Nut Cheerios and regular Cheerios, loaded up with glyphosate, which I believe, and I even tied it last week to some gender-bending things, but it's definitely bad for the human gut. This is this once-in-a-50-year nutritional guidelines summit that is coming, where they are going to tell people, you don't eat ground beef, you don't eat cheddar cheese, you don't eat a real egg cooked in real butter. Instead, you opt for chocolate-covered almonds, frosted mini wheats, and Honey Nut Cheerios. They go down further. Other things that you can have, sweet potato fries or chips. Egg substitute, fried in vegetable oil. This may be one of the most egregious things I see on this entire list. The demonization of eggs was another one of these huge medical misses. Tied to cholesterol, you can't have an egg. It was absolutely ridiculous, the yolk of the egg known to be a nutritional powerhouse. If you study it, now you don't want those sweatshop eggs. Go out and find you some good free-range happy chicken eggs where they're eating little bugs out of the soil and that kind of stuff. You know, the way chickens are supposed to be raised, they produce very nutritionally packed foods in eggs. The medical establishment, nutritional establishment, has been demonizing eggs for decades. Science has come out and said, oh, look at that. There's a ton of good things in an egg yolk. It never made sense to me how eggs could be so terrible, but the animals that they grow into could still be healthy, right? Didn't ever make sense to me. Luckily, my father stuck through it. As everybody warned him, his cholesterol was going to go through the roof. It was terrible for him. He had two fried eggs just about every morning before he headed off to work at Delta Airlines and thumbed his nose at everybody. Never had any blood pressure problems, never had any cholesterol problems, and he ate two eggs a day. Thanks to my father, he convinced me that eggs were not an issue. But they are telling you, don't eat an egg cooked in butter, eat an egg substitute, and fry it in vegetable oil. And these vegetable oils are known to be absolutely terrible, particularly cooked at high temperatures. There's all kinds of problems with these processed vegetable oils that we have. The next one is a skinless chicken breast. Of course, we can't eat the skin. How would human beings be considered? I can just imagine Grog and his band of Neanderthals sitting around the fire going, hey, no skin for me, please. I'm watching my cholesterol. Suddenly they convinced us that the skin of the chicken was really where the problem was. Just go in there and, because the skin is where a lot of the fat was. So I wanted to take all the fat off of the chicken. Here's the next one. This is, again, I'm just make sure I'm making myself very clear. This is in these nutritional guidelines for what is supposed to be this White House meeting, the biggest meeting on nutrition in 50 years. The next one, okay, so we've got egg substitute, fried and vegetable oils, A-OK, skinless chicken breast, A-OK. Next one, Lucky Charms. I'm not kidding. I'm looking at it. Egg substitute, fried and vegetable oil, skinless chicken breast, and Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms. Whole wheat bread, canned pineapple in heavy syrup is okay. A boiled or a poached egg, they say, is okay. Well, they do put whole milk in here, which is almost interesting. And then the next one, almond M&Ms. We are so close, if not knee-deep, in Idiocracy right now. The only thing missing from this is Brondo, because it's full of electrolytes. I'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final few minutes of the show today. Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I got to tell you, they're just trying to make us sick at this point. We're talking about the new Food Compass. This is supposedly the most comprehensive look at nutrition and guidelines that will be rolled out on us maybe next month in September by this White House in 50 years. Let me tell you, if this is a food compass, it will take your health south. All parts of this compass point south. Now, people would look at this. This is a piece written by this about this by Nina Teeholz. And she writes, the food compass, which gives top ratings to Cheerios, Lucky Charms, and Cocoa Puffs, is absurd on the face of it. In all, nearly 70 brand-named cereals from General Mills, Kellogg's, and Post are ranked twice as high as eggs cooked in butter or a piece of plain whole wheat toast. Egg whites cooked in vegetable oils are also apparently more healthy than a whole boiled egg, and nearly all foods are healthier than ground beef. Now, in that paragraph explains to you exactly why these nutritional guidelines are coming out. And I was thinking to myself during the break, self, is there any possibility we are going to walk into doctor's offices in the next year or so and ask them, hey, I was thinking about having either a hamburger steak or some Lucky Charms, and your doctor is going to go, oh, we'll definitely go with the Lucky Charms. And I thought, well, that's just absurd on its face. No doctor would believe that. And then I thought to myself, self, didn't we just live through a time where doctors told you to mask your children when sending them to school, knowing they trap bacteria and just get all kinds of nasty and restrict oxygen and cause emotional scarring? But these same doctors told you to mask your kid and now want you to roll your child's sleeve up for an experimental gene therapy. There's a real possibility that within the next year, your pediatrician will tell you, get your kids off that hamburger steak and get them on those Cheerios. Toot sweet. But if you want to know why these guidelines are coming out, it is in that paragraph there where it is 70 brand-named cereals from General Mills, Kellogg's, and Post. Those are all ranked. 70 of those are ranked higher than eggs cooked in butter or a piece of plain whole wheat toast. The egg lobby's got to step up their game because these big food manufacturers have been calling the shots on the food pyramid. Then they rolled out the plate, where they gave you a pie graph superimposed on a plate that told you, of course, have a basis in good whole grains, which if you've listened to this show or done any nutritional research of your own, knows that these whole grains are spiking your insulin and causing you to store body fat and making everybody sick. These things are driven, these policies, these food policies, these nutritional recommendations – Don't let Tufts University fool you that this guy is the dean of the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition Sciences and Policy at Tufts University. This is just like pharmaceutical company research, where these big food and agricultural companies go to these universities and they sponsor research and they give these guys grants. And then suddenly when they make their recommendations, Cheerios, Lucky Charms, and Cocoa Puffs somehow rank higher than eggs when it comes to nutritional benefit in your diet. Nina Teachholz's piece goes on to say, Tufts University touts the Food Compass as, quote, the most comprehensive and science-based nutrient profiling system to date that clears up confusion to benefit consumers and policymakers. Created by a team of Tufts researchers under the leadership of Mozafarian, the project ranks 8,032 foods and took 3 years to complete. It took them 3 years to rank all of these foods, and they found out that Lucky Charms, Cheerios, and Cocoa Puffs are better for you than an egg. You need to be suspicious not only of the medical establishment and all of these pills, but you need to take it back down another level, too, and look at the foods that they recommend and the foods that they demonize, the eggs, the beef, animal products, skin, fat, these kinds of things. These have been driven by corporate interest that want to sell you the heavily processed stuff, and that's what's led to the health disaster that we have in the United States right now. Well, it's apparently about to get worse. We'll see, doctors. Are you going to believe this one, too? It's coming from an authority. It's written in science. It's a nutrition guy. You believe that Lucky Charms are better for you than a hamburger steak? We'll see. That's all the time I got. Talk to you tomorrow.
No matter
Bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.